Welcome to Casa de Cambio. On this episode of Casa de Cambio, I'm here with Nikki Smith. Welcome, Nikki. How are you today?
Hey, thanks, Tash. Very well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Excellent. And it is January and we were just talking about our breaks. So how was your break?
Oh, beautiful break. It's taken me a few years to nail the formula, but lots of chill time, lots of reading and catching up with people every second or third day. I am an introvert, has really helped me get a better holiday vibe going. Yeah.
Yes. Did you go anywhere?
We live in Bowen Heads, so this is paradise this time of year. It's crowded, but it's still beautiful.
Bowen Heads is beautiful. Oh, but yeah, I can imagine, like, I've been there for the weekend a few times and yeah, Bowen Heads Main Street on a Sunday is bumper to bumper. So I can imagine it would be particular. And I think, I don't think a lot of people flew places this year because flights are so expensive. So I did wonder if, you know, like the Great Ocean Road and some of those kind of popular like holiday spots that are within driving distance were going to be super packed.
Yeah, I think it's super packed and possibly packed for longer. Before pandemic, it used to be busy for 2 to 3 weeks, but now the vibe is it's still continuing on. So I think some people are taking their break a bit later in January or thriving on that hybrid model and being coastal.
Yeah, I was about to say some people are going back, but they're working remotely and because their kids are still on holidays or whatever the reason may be. But yeah, I've noticed a lot of people are returning to work, but not returning to the office straight away, which is great.
Yeah,
I love to see people living their best lives.
Exactly. And how was your break?
Oh, my break was awesome. I did get COVID right before Christmas, which was interesting because I got COVID on New Year's Day 2022 and then I got it again on like the 12th or 13th of December. But I managed to test negative right like the day before I was due to fly home to South Australia for my family Christmas, which is great. So I went straight to family Christmas and, you know, catch ups with friends and going to the Barossa Valley and Adelaide Hills and all that stuff. And then I came home and, you know, went to a 3-day festival for New Year's. And then I had that week, you know, cause I was back on the 10th and I slept so much during that week and went, oh, having COVID and then doing all of this stuff makes you really tired. So I'm like you, I was like, okay, my body's telling me it needs sleep. I had a lot of plans to, you know, go and do day trips and see exhibitions and catch up with friends, but I didn't get a lot. I just was like, oh, and I'm usually like ding awake at 6 a.m. or 6:30 and I can't get back to sleep. So if I'm sleeping till late in the morning, that's obviously what I needed. And it was great because I went back last week and I was feeling re-energized and ready to work again. So, but I am ready. I would like another holiday soon. Okay. They're so good. But it was great. It was great. It was good to, I do enjoy going back to SA for family Christmas. And yes, I don't know, something about Christmas and wanting to spend it with my family. I really, I'm quite close with my immediate family. So it's always a fun time. But it was good. Thank you for asking. So we're here today to talk about finding your superpowers and how your unique combination of strengths means that you have a superpower, because only 1 in 33 million people have your exact strengths combination, which I'm so excited to get into. But before we get into that, there's two questions I ask every guest who comes onto the podcast. And the first one is, what are you currently reading, watching, and listening to?
So I'm reading Alice Osman books, which including Loveless and Radio Silence. I've just finished those two, following my teen's reading journey. And they're the most beautiful coming of age books I think I've ever read. She was the author behind Heartstopper, which I think a lot of people have seen on.
I loved that show. Yeah.
And so I just really clever, beautiful, nerdy characters exploring, you know, gender and sexual identity and doing it in a really relatable way. It's just, super heartwarming. You know, usually it's a couple of tears in her books, but generally quite heartwarming and, beautiful.
Excellent. Any TV shows or podcasts you wanted to share?
Yeah, for comfort, I'm watching Scandal. And for learning and growing, I've been watching Limitless, which is the longevity show. With Chris Hemsworth. My dad has dementia and my 10-year-old's determined for me not to get dementia, and so I've been exploring longevity stuff with Limitless and a naturopath. Yeah.
I should watch that because dementia runs in my family as well. So, and I remember seeing that in the news, how he's going to retire from acting, and because he's got, is it a specific gene that he has?
Yep.
Yeah, that means he's more susceptible to getting it. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if, do I have that?
You can do a DNA test and find out. So I've got my pack on the floor. I just haven't done it yet. But there's lots of stuff you can do around anti-inflammatory and lifestyle, and there's lots of things you can do. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I have quit drinking. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but I guess it kind of is one, because it was, you know, I drank a lot over Christmas and New Year's because, yeah, we live in the Barossa Valley, and my parents do. And of course we were going to wineries, and, you know, Christmas, we're always getting the nice wines out on Christmas Day. And yeah, I haven't had a drink since like the 6th of or 7th of January. So it's been about 10 days, and I think I'm going to do Feb fast as well. And yeah, it's needed to happen.
Beautiful.
And yeah, well, you know, the pandemic, like, I got into the habit of having a glass of wine at night. Or two or three glasses of wine, but when we're in all the lockdowns, right?
Oh, me too. I started a week-long Pinot Noir festival for myself and just kept going.
I know, because it's a control thing. It's like, well, I don't have control over so many things, but you know what I can do is I can go and buy a nice blue cheese and have a nice glass of Pinot Noir, and that's something that I'm going to really enjoy. But then the problem was I got and I'm going to watch my Netflix, right? That's another thing I'm not doing, is watching TV, or cut way back. And then the habit, it's stuck, and I'm like, well, it's not really very healthy to be drinking alcohol every day. Like, I'm still, you know, getting up and going to the gym and doing work. I'm not getting drunk, but I've been wanting to kick that habit and wanting to stop drinking when I'm at home and only drinking, you know, if I go out or having people around for dinner or something. So that's my goal for this year. So I'll share it with you. Share it with all the listeners.
You're now accountable. Excellent. Love
it. But it's going better than I thought, because it's hard. Like, I found it hard once you have that habit. Especially when you work from home, it's like, oh, I'll close the door in my office and open the fridge and, you know, grab a beer or so. Yeah, it's been, I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to Feb Fast and, you know, making some lifestyle changes and being healthier, because I'm already seeing some benefits. Like, I've definitely, my skin's improving, my digestion's improving. Like, it's, yeah, I'm on my way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I've pulled right back as well. And damn it, the health benefits are so good.
Well, and there's all the stuff around, yeah, cancer and dementia, and it's like, probably should stop doing that. But it's hard because they're not benefits that you see straight away, right? You know that you're reducing your risk of certain cancers, I think we're going to get there. So good for us. Second question is, what was the best piece of career advice you ever received?
I think the best one was from a psychologist called Moshe Lang, and at the time he was kind of, he'd been at the top of his profession for a long time of family therapy. And I was talking to him about my passion for psychology and becoming a psychologist, but also for pursuing singing. And he said to me, if he had the choice of being a singer or a psychologist, he would choose to be a singer. And that blew my mind. And he also said, you don't have to be just one thing. So that really helped me to explore doing both. And I did both for 6 years and loved it. So good.
Oh.
Yeah.
And this is a really good segue into the topic as well, because that is a very interesting combination of strengths, being a singer and a psychologist. Moving on to the topic, I wanted to start at the very beginning and ask, how can we identify what our strengths are?
Yeah, so there are two main ways you can explore them and identify them. One is, if you're keen on the DIY, you can grab a notebook and, you know, once a day actually note down the tasks or activities that energize you and that you find to be quite natural, and they're likely to be key strengths. So you might be in a strategy meeting and just love that. You might have some quiet reflection time and love that. You might have a sales meeting and love that. So it's just jotting down what are the activities that you can kind of name and that you feels energizing and it feels quite natural. So that's quite a fun way of doing it. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I still recommend that people do choose a strengths assessment, and there's tons out there. My favorite one is StrengthsFinder 2.0. And I'm sure we can put a link in the show notes, or if you email me, I'll send it out to you. And what I love about that is it's, if you're looking at it as a layperson, or if you're, I mean, change management, you know about profiles, it's 5 pages of individualized language to you in the insight guide report, and you will be floored at, some of it you'll be aware of and some of it you won't be aware of. And we typically undervalue our strengths. So it's really important to see what's written in the report to go, oh, you know, I thought everyone was like that. Actually, no, this is special. And you may think an individual's strength is not particularly special, but in combination, it certainly is. So, for example, my empathy strength, I always knew it was about sensing the feelings of others, you know, adapt, potentially being able to adapt my style to them, but I never knew that it helped me to ask the right question at the right time. And that's one of the gems I got from my report.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And so how can you then, moving on from that, know or identify what is your specific strengths combination?
Yeah. So it's interesting. A lot of people ask me to help them with that. So I want to break down how I help people to do that. So once you've got your strengths assessment, you'll notice that you're, for this report anyway, there's 34 strengths you could have. You're not allowed all of them, even though you may want all of them. So say taking your top five, they're going to sit under 4 work style or leadership pillars. So it's worth having a look at what does it sit under: influencing, under relationship building, under thinking, or under executing or getting things done. And then that can give you a bit of a flavor of what your strengths combination is. But really the goal is in understanding the nuance. So I guide people to actually identify the strength statements that are the most powerful for them. And then I've got a cheat sheet where we turn them into the problems I solve statements. And then that really helps people to understand, oh, that's my unique combination. That is what I can do that only 1 in 33 million people can do.
Where did the 1 in 33 million stat come from, just out of interest?
Yeah, from the people who made the tool. So it's a highly validated tool. It's been used by millions of people. So they've come up with a stat. I haven't checked the science behind it, but they are highly nerdy psychologists behind writing this one. Yep.
Yep. Yep. And so then how does that make you super powered?
Gosh, I love that question. So I was thinking about that today, and there's a lot to say about it, but I figured there's probably 3 categories. One is around kind of confidence and permission to be you and to show up differently. One is around reclaiming time. And another one is around increasing your opportunities. So if we jump into the giving you the more confidence, you know, and impact one, I'd mentioned before, people undervalue their strengths. So when you're more clear on what they are, it amplifies your understanding and perception and helps you actually give yourself credit.
Yeah.
Okay, this is special and helpful. And so that naturally boosts your confidence. But then it means that you can also be more targeted in your role in your business or as an employee to go, okay, these are the types of projects I want to focus on. And therefore you'll have more impact. It might help. I'll get to opportunities in a second, but it's a huge shift for people. Because I think most people understand their strengths broadly, but not specifically. So I think most people understand, for example, I had a client, he said, well, I know I've got strategy and people strengths, but he couldn't break that down into exactly what that looks like. He wanted to change sectors and he had zero confidence in doing that. So it wasn't until we unpacked those, hey, these are your unique strength statements, these are the problems you can solve in a unique and helpful way, that he went, oh, okay, I can see how that could play well outside of banking and finance. Yeah. So the second category is around reclaiming time. So I typically help people to reclaim a minimum of 10 hours in their work week. And that's because strengths principles are very powerful. And if we're not using them, it's like working with one arm tied behind our back. We're just not being as efficient or productive. So, for example, if you just even take, say, the back-to-back meeting scenario, which is so common. Ugh. I don't know who started that. Let's find them.
Yeah.
Hurt them. not many people have the strengths where that is energizing, full stop, back-to-back meetings. If you're in change management, you're going to have some thinking strengths, aren't you? Processing strengths. And to feel energized and at your most powerful, you're going to need some reflective thinking time. And it may be that, you know, you can design back-to-back meetings one day, but then half a day or more thinking time the next day. So one of the principles is to actually shape your work week to play to your strengths. So to keep you energized. If we go against that, you'll be drained. You'll get resentful.
Yeah.
So plugging in, if you've got the thinking strengths, you need thinking time. So one of the principles is, how do I leverage my strengths? And that's one example of how to do that. Yeah. The third category is opportunities. So this is one of my favorites because I think Australians aren't very good at promoting themselves typically.
No.
Yeah. They don't want to feel like they're bragging, tooting their own horn. And so what I teach clients to see is that when you refer to your strength statements, and you can do it in quite an organic way, and often you're referring to one at a time, you're not giving this, you know, 2-minute spiel necessarily at the one time. It sounds very factual, and when we phrase it in terms of problems I solve, then you're actually showing, this is how I want to help, or this is how I can add value, or this is something I'm interested in. So, for example, clients will get to know their strengths, practice these strength statements out loud, put them into their own language, and then they come back to me and said, oh, I used one of them in the meeting the other day. You know, and and it might be, oh, in front of the interviewer, you know, for this job, I found a few of my strength statements coming out. And if, yes, it's on my resume, but they seemed impressed, you know, when I talked about them. For attracting clients, you can talk about, because I know a lot of you listening in are business owners, it can be that you could talk about, hey, this is what you can expect working with me. This is what it's like working with me, and share your strength statements. Because it's not just about, it is about problems you solve, but it's the way you do it and the style that you do it in as well. So, you know, one of my, I guess, character flavors in my strength statements is around, I'm a natural born cheerleader. So if people find a lot of positivity annoying, then they're not going to want to work with me, and that's okay. So those are the three categories around how getting to know your strengths and using those strength statements or problems I solve statements to feel really powerful. And I have to say, personally, I knew I had relationship building strengths. I knew I had people's strengths all my life, but I never felt particularly validated by society at all.
Yeah.
Everyone in my family was more academic, more empirical. A lot of my friends went through kind of traditional, type A pathways like medicine and engineering and that, and I always felt very different. And it wasn't until I designed my own business and role that I felt the strongest that I've ever felt, and this is what I do now. And so I think we chronically underestimate to what extent we can design our work life, and this applies to you whether you're running your own business or you're an employee. We often think we need a radical change to be happy, but I want clients to look first internally to, let's look at your current business or current role, and let's look at what we can adjust and shape and see if that increases your mojo and your fulfillment and your income enough that, you know, that's enough. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many good things in that explanation that you just gave. The one that I think resonated with me the most was the back-to-back meetings. And I also feel like we so often focus on what our weaknesses are. You know, I need to be better at X. I'm not good at Y. And then it's like, well, do I actually need to be? I mean, obviously, if you're being a dickhead and upsetting everyone that you work with, yeah, you need to work on that. But, you know, like I'll give an example of my own career, because I've always gone, oh, I'm not really good at the strategy stuff, because I'm all about I get shit done. I'm delivery and execution. And I was like, oh, I need to be better at strategy, because strategy people get really good roles and they're getting funding. In the role I was in, that's how I saw it. I was like, they're getting the funding. It looks really cool. They seem to get handed good jobs. I should, you know, get. And then I was going through a leadership development course at the time, and it was really beneficial because I was going, well, I need to. And, you know, what I realized was, well, actually, you don't need, like, you can be really good at delivering execution and work, you know, and just continue to develop that. Because what I've found in my career is I've worked with some amazing strategy people who hate delivery and execution, and they can go, Tash, here's the strategy. And I'm like, this is a fantastic strategy. Let me make that happen for you. And it's a really good partnership because we've got complementary skills. So then I was like, okay, I don't, you know, you were being dumb. I don't need that skill. But yeah, I feel like too often we're focusing on, oh, that looks shiny over there. I want that, rather than what we've got in our own. And, you know, I don't know if that's a cultural thing, but yeah, the back-to-back meetings, my goodness, I hate being in back-to-back meetings so much. I feel like I don't, well, it's because I don't have control of my calendar when it's happening. Because if I did, I wouldn't be in back-to-back meetings. And that was one of the reasons I, you know, had a crack at my own consulting business, because I was doing, you know, when, especially in change, when you get into like the more senior roles, you're in back-to-back meetings all day, you're managing people, you're giving people a lot of guidance, and you're across all these different streams of a program. So you've got to go to all this cross-stream stuff, but then you still are doing change work. You have to do the doing and you need the thinking time and you're not getting it. And yeah, I was just feeling so drained. And one of the reasons, you know, I was able to enjoy my holiday so much, because the last 6 months I've had the most fabulous clients. And I'm not saying all clients I had before that 6 months were terrible, but because my clients have been so amazing, I haven't felt drained. Like, I've felt energized. And, you know, there's some, like anyone who works in change knows, there's some engagements or projects that are just really difficult for whatever reason. And, you know, the, like, you have to work really hard on preserving your energy, and some are just a dream. And I've had two dream clients, which has made a big difference. But it's also proved to me that, yeah, what I did wasn't that drastic. Like, I'm still in change management, but now that I have my own, like, I am fully in charge of my own calendar. And because I'm using air quotes, consultant, people are now really, they're like, oh, we don't want you to go to this meeting. Don't go to that meeting. But really, like, what I get paid isn't that different, because before I would have been going through an agency who would be taking a cut, and now I personally get more because I'm going direct, right? So there's no middleman. But the total dollar amount, I don't think would be that different for a consultant, you know, versus a contractor. But there's this perception that, oh, well, we can't send the consultants all. So I'm literally coming on, and I'm on a statement of work, so I can't have everything kicked to me. So yeah, I come on, I do the work that I'm assigned to do. I have plenty of thinking time, and it's so much better.
It's a game changer. And you're applying some of the principles there. So designing what you will and won't do and sticking to that, that takes a bit of discipline and getting that statement of work in place. But you're also applying another of the principles, which is potentially partnering up with people's strengths that you need and they need yours. Mm-hmm. And it is a cultural thing. And I think it might also be a human thing that we look to our weaknesses. So it's a chronic thing in Australia.
Yeah.
And I've got something to share, which I think will help shift people's mindset around that, which is Gallup have proven that we grow more in our area of strength. So if you want to be a top performer, or if you want to be your best self, it will pay dividends for you to focus more on your strengths than your weaknesses.
Yeah.
I think that's very convincing. When I first heard that in, I think it was 2006, I punched the air. It made so much sense to me. And I think, you know, we grew up in schools where we were taught to bring up any of those lower marks. You know, we were always told to improve our weaknesses.
Yeah.
But actually we grow more in our area of strength. So it's a delight to share with my kids, not telling them to do that. It's saying focus on your area of strengths and go for that. And, you know, we other subjects we can talk about, but you just, as long as you're learning, don't worry about it.
Mm. God, I wish I knew that when I was at school.
Me too. Me too.
I also wanted to ask, you know, once people have identified their strengths and gone through that exercise and they go, okay, this is my unique combination of strengths. I know what my superpower is. What do we do with that information?
Yeah, so I recommend that. So if I'll talk to both business owners and employees. So I recommend you pop those on your LinkedIn profile. I recommend you pop them on your resume. For business owners, I recommend when you're talking to clients, you don't even necessarily need to say it out loud, but in your proposal, in the About Me section, I would put those in there. And you can add, you know, those work wish elements or a statement of work, like Tash is talking about, in terms of, you know, I think everyone's, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is having some really strong preferences around work and hybrid and meetings and everything. And please stick to them. Let's keep the change going.
Yeah.
So you can add those in there as well. You know, why should we hire you? Your strengths, statements and problems I solve statements is part of that unique solution, you know. And also I think if there is an area of weakness that you've been beating yourself up about, have a look in your strengths profile for evidence that that isn't true. So for example, there might be some people who are more natural at the sales, you know, bit of the client attraction, but I can also often see in a client's profile, but hang on a sec, you've got the relator strength, which means you form genuine deep relationships quickly and easily. You've got the communication strength, which means you can articulate, you know, your concepts, thoughts and ideas and feelings really easily. Put those together. That's not a bad sales combo at all. You might just do it more thoughtfully, and you might just need a bit more preparation time. You might need to say to the client, let me think about that and get back to you. But there's some strong sales foundation.
Well, I've gone through that exact experience transitioning from being an employee to a business owner, because one of the things I thought was a reason I can't have my own business is I don't have sales skills. I don't have, because I've never done a job that has sales in the job title. And I went, oh, I don't know how to, but I'm doing great actually, because I know how to, you know, get the information out of a client, like help them articulate what their problem is, tell them how I'm going to solve their problem, and then say, do you want to work together? Should I put together a proposal for you? You know, what's your budget? Like how do you see this getting set? And it's actually just having a conversation. It's not like 1980s hard selling tech, you know, Wall Street, sell, sell, sell. It's not like that at all. Also, if someone's coming to me, you know, reaching out for a conversation, they already want to engage someone. They already have a budget. Like, people don't go and engage a consultant when they have no budget and they haven't had a pre-conversation about, I think we need this and da, da, da. So they're already ready, you know. And my selling, I'm very lucky that I'm not in LinkedIn, like sending people copy paste messages about increase your link, because that is not what it's about. But yeah. And I found, well, I'm getting clients, I'm bringing them on board. So clearly my, again, I'm using air quotes, sales skill isn't too bad. About
integrity selling, which is beautiful and current and plays really well to people with relationship building or information gathering strengths, like you talked about. I agree 100%, and I'm the same. It's something I had to get my head around too. And actually, it's forming that genuine relationship, information gathering, diagnosing problems, and being confident enough to say, you know, what do you want to do next? You know, do you want a proposal sent through? I think we can do great work together. You know, what
how can we work together? Yeah. Or the other one is, I'm not sure this is my thing. It's not my wheelhouse, but would you like me to recommend someone that I think would absolutely nail this? Because, you know, there's sometimes that happens too, where I'm like, don't think it's quite fitting here. I think it might be not change management. It might be a different thing, or it might be a different change manager who has a different skill set that I think will be more powerful and more applicable to the problem that the client has. So that happens too. But then clients appreciate that. Because you're being honest. Yeah.
And you're looking after them. But your strengths profile can also help you to understand, the types of people you want to work with and how you want to use your strengths. So if you're not going to be using your strengths, do you need to take that client on? Can you refer them on?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I have done that with clients, I'm thinking, because I'm like, I'm not going to tell that story. Give away who the client is. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners about you know, how to find their superpower or any additional tips that you have for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Make a start. It's like peeling an onion. So there's always a bit more to learn, but make a start. Honestly, any time spent on this pays dividends. And I recommend you kind of test things out, because sometimes you might think you know, but you don't know. So for example, to show you kind of the evolution of nuance with strengths. So if you look at my strengths profile, presenting and speaking doesn't scream shout out from the profile. And so it's not a true strength, which means I do enjoy doing it, but I find it draining. But it doesn't mean I never do it. It just means I'm selective with how often I do it. And I make sure that I haven't got some hardcore work after a presentation or a talk or a podcast interview. And so it doesn't mean you can't do things that, you know, don't energize you, but you just want to be careful about the ratio of things. And I think the other invitation is to, when you shape your work week to play to your strengths 60 to 80% of the week, you significantly boost your mojo, your productivity, your impact, your creativity. And so I would look, some people can change that overnight, but some people need to do it in a slower process. But I find even when clients change 10% here on a particular strength, 5% here on a particular strength, it makes a big, big difference. So I think often we think, oh, I can't do anything about it. Even small changes will make a difference. And no one is as interested in your strengths, apart from me, possibly Tash, as you are. So it's our job to get to know them so we can start to, in quite an organic, non-braggy way, educate people around us, you know, in a performance review, an interview, in a client meeting, in a client retention meeting, to really let them know this is a superpower they're engaging with. And you've definitely got value to offer the world and to offer the person in front of you.
Yeah, that was my wrap-up question, but I've got another question now based on what you said. So what do you do if you really strongly believe that you have a strength, but you don't feel like others are seeing it, or you're not getting the, I guess not getting the opportunity is a different thing, because I've had that before where I knew I had leadership as a strength. I wasn't getting leadership opportunities at work for a variety of reasons. I don't know if the reasons were people didn't think I was a leader. And I went, okay, I'm not flexing this muscle, and I don't want people to, you know, I don't want to be denied the opportunity. So what I did was I went and volunteered as a professional mentor at the Asylum Seeker Resource Center. So that was years and years ago now. And then, because I was like, well, I'm going to get that somewhere else. I'm not getting it from work. But I did feel like, yeah, I don't know. That was a weird time, because there was a lot of, yeah, and I probably shouldn't have paid too much. A lot of that commentary I'm reflecting maybe came from recruiters and people who I shouldn't have really paid too much mind to what they were saying, because I should have been like, you know what, I'm going to get there. But I did the mentoring thing. And then I ended up coaching and mentoring lots of people at work, and then eventually, you know, had a team again, and it's all, and now mentoring and coaching is like a big part of, you know, how other people see me. So yeah, they're quite, and so that's what I did. So that's a tip for the listeners. But my question for you is you know, you're talking about being meeting with managers and saying, this is my strength. What if they don't agree?
I don't think you have to fight hard to convince people. I think you spend your energy on more open-minded people who believe, see, and trust you. Mm-hmm. You could demonstrate it and back it up with evidence.
Yeah.
But B, I would find other people in the business that believe you or that are interested.
Yeah.
I wouldn't knock your head against the wall too much. I'd look, and what you said before is perfect. If you're not getting the opportunity to demonstrate it, can you do it outside of the workplace, or can you put your hand up for a special project?
Yeah.
Just look for a way around
it. Take us a comment. Go on. Yeah.
It's a comment. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really what you said again really resonates with me, because one thing I've learned, and I think this comes with being a bit older, is when I was younger, I was like, I'm going to win them over. They're going to see, they're going to love me, and we're going to be best friends by the end of this. And now I'm just like, I do not have time for that shit. Like, you know, not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. Like you said before, like people who, you know, you're a cheerleader, and some people might find that annoying, they're not for you. Like I've come across a lot of people in the workplace, and maybe it's immediate. They decide they don't like you, or maybe they want you to keep jumping through hoops to prove yourself. And I'm just like, I don't need to do that. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. Whereas, you know, me in my 20s, I was jumping through the hoops. I was working late at night. I was doing every, and you know what? Sometimes you jump through and they still dislike you. So you've just completely wasted your time. But I think that
20s, you don't have enough experience to kind of assess exactly where it's worth putting your time. And so I think that's pretty standard. I did the same. And you're proving it to yourself.
That's changing with
you're also proving it to yourself, aren't you, as well as other people? And
yeah.
But I think the main thing is for you to believe your strengths. That's the main thing. And you know, it gives clients confidence to share an idea in a meeting, or put their hand up for a project, or look for a volunteer opportunity, go for a secondment. Basically, you want to play to your strengths for 60-80% of the week. So can you design it where you are, or do you need to make a smaller change or a bigger change? That's the invitation. And it's a really liberating and positive thing, getting to know your strengths.
Yeah, and finding people who are really picking up what you're putting down is so key, because when you're in, and you know, I was talking about having dream clients, because I haven't had to do any of that. Oh, I need to win this person over. This is a shaky relationship. I got to build that. You know, this stakeholder is difficult. And one is because they're awesome people and they're just the nicest people ever. But you know, and again, in change, like, you do come across difficult people. That is a skill you need if you're going to be a change. But it's so nice when it's just smooth sailing, and it's giving me more time to focus on my thinking and focus on my work, because I'm not stakeholder managing, right? Finding people who really get you, because, you know, there's no shame in actually saying, you know what, person, this isn't really working out, is it? Like, we're just not getting along. Because, you can have, it just makes the world of difference, rather than, you know, you feel like you're constantly pushing shit uphill, trying to get buy-in, trying to build trust, trying to get people to allow you to lead things and do your job. Like, it's so much harder. It's just, I don't know. That was something I learned only recently. You know, it's, and it comes back to
celebrating, and you're going to, and it's inspiring, isn't it? Because sometimes you lose hope, don't you? When you're with difficult clients, working a lot of hours and pushing stuff uphill, you can lose hope that other types of clients exist. And so Tash is here to tell you they do. They exist.
They do. And look, I know that it's not going to be forever, and maybe the engagement that I have after this will be much more difficult, and I'll probably struggle more with it, because I'll be like, I want to go back to the lovely clients. But you know, it swings and roundabouts, and that's fine too. With that, where can people hear more and get more Nikki? Where can people reach out to you? Do you have any like courses or workshops coming up?
Yeah, for sure. So if you go to my website, which is nikkismithcoach.com.
I'll put that in the show notes.
So there are a few tabs there that might interest you. So one is podcast. So I actually interview my clients about their strengths and mini experiments that have taken them from A to B. In the shop tab, there's actually this mini masterclass bundle, which is we put so much love into. It's called the Strengths Mini Masterclass Bundle. And that'll actually guide you step by step to tease out those strength statements and problems I solve statements. And I actually give you a cheat sheet for the problems I solve statements. It'll help you to put it into a spiel that will really do all the things that we've been talking about without you feeling like you're bragging. It'll also save you a lot of time trying to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's only $29. That's on the website on the shop tab. Yeah.
It's basically free.
It's basically free.
Yeah. You can't even get a watermelon for $29 at the moment.
Exactly. Just skip the watermelon for a week and grab that. I don't advertise this on the website, but because Tash is special, you can have a single strength session with me. So I don't offer this on the website, but a single strength session, what we can do is I can do it for you or with you. But we can also debrief your strengths, so you really understand them inside out, and we can also design your work week or design a role from that. So that's a 90-minute session. You get your strengths assessment and you get some great outcomes from that as well. So if you just email me, through the website contact form. We can set you up for that as well.
Wow. You heard it here first, Casa de Cambio listeners. Thank you so much, Nikki. What a generous offer. Well, Nikki, thank you for being a guest on the podcast, for sharing all of your amazing advice and insights. I need to do properly the strengths assessment. So I'm definitely, and now knowing that that class is only $29, that is such a steal. But yeah, for the listeners, don't forget to tell everyone you know about the podcast now that we're back. Do the sharing on social media and the 5-star ratings and review on Apple Podcasts because it helps me get seen. But Nikki, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute blast.
It's been super fun. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.